Excavating with Erin.
Erin Ward is back with us every Wednesday to excavate.
Oh. Yay! Wednesday, Valentine's Day. So excited.
Is it so exciting? Because for some people it sucks. And I'm very cognizant.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's only if we focus on like needing it to look a certain way or be a certain way. But I think overall it's a day that just reminds us that there's a whole lot of love. We got a whole lot of love in the world.
Yeah, we do. So, I mean, it could be love for your partner. It could be love for the world in general, the universe. It could be love for your friends or your family. I don't think it has to be romantic love at all.
No, not at all. I mean, I have a friend whose Valentine is her pet, and she bought him a really beautiful dog cake. Like, that's awesome. There's a lot of love there too.
But I was also aware that when Mary and I, my wife, put out our blogcast, that's what I do with you. We put out our podcast, the Mr. and Mrs. Yogi Valentine's Day Love Extravaganza, that there's a warning on it saying if this holiday is not resonating with you because you are currently single or you just went through a breakup, some people do not handle it well. And I get that. That was me at some times, right? Whether I was with someone.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there because you don't want to rub someone's nose in it who doesn't want to see it, you know, or hear it.
Right. Right. Of course. And like, it's going to look different for every person. And if today is a day that doesn't resonate with you and you want to turn it into just like you being with you, I really support that. Like, self-dates are the best.
Yeah, look, I'm married. I still love being with myself.
Yeah.
It just depends on the day.
I'm not married and I love being on the side.
Your blog from erinrward.com is Time Versus Love. So I'm going to start out with to your word. I had the recollection of an airplane ride, the red eye from LA to NYC, the experience of the inimitable feeling of an airport at 6 a.m. When you've switched time zones, it's really 3:30 a.m. in your world. But then again, it's all perspective, right? Flying through the air and crossing a prescribed border, and someone at one point in history decided that it was now a different time, it's asinine. Logically then, think mathematical proof. Time itself can be rendered asinine. One cannot make absolute claims about the world's participation in a phenomenon without there being cause for scrutiny. Based on that opening introduction of your perception of time, dig a bit deeper into that perception and how you are expressing that there's no such thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting to me that time, it is something we created. And in this blog post, time is a story that we all decided that we're going to buy into. It's how we measure it through the sun. And it's something that we can all get on the same rhythm with, which is wonderful in one respect. But I kind of wanted to call attention to like the idea that when we start to measure things that are undefinable, or are a bit more abstract, like the experience of love, that using time as a way of equating it can sometimes be fallible, because time in and of itself is something that we've created. So for me, it was just this really interesting reflection. I was thinking about love and this week, like how it is so important to so many people. And this day is celebrated by so many people. And it got me thinking about like, where does time play into this? And isn't an important part of the experience of love?
Yeah. I think on that note that I don't think it's truly, if not important, if definitely not the most important factor. So the celebration of, you know, the golden anniversary, the silver anniversary, you know, and fill in the blank, I think that does not define the quality of the relationship. It's a quality versus quantity thing.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree.
Because there's couples that have been married forever, but they don't talk to each other. They just share space.
Yeah, for sure. And there's something to be said about like having an amazing roommate. Like, but I think it's I think it's also like a lot of what me and you talk about, Andrew, I'm realizing is the common thread through all of these things is awareness. And I think that is a natural element of excavation into thought and into feeling into one's experience is the awareness you bring to it. And so
absolutely,
the awareness of being in a loving connection and a loving partnership, or having an experience of love, and how in my belief, you know, being together for a longer period of time might support that, but I don't think it's essential. And I don't think it, time is a necessary component of love, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I hate speaking in generalities, but sometimes there's couples who use time as a tool to say, well, I don't have to do the things that I did in the beginning of the relationship. And that's something that my wife and I make it clear that we will not let happen. You know, we still say, I love you. We still give the same reminders and niceties that we did in the beginning, because that could erode over time if we're talking about time. And that's a very negative thing to happen, whether you stay together or not. In that case,
right,
as time goes by, the quality of the relationship decreases with the quantity. So there is nothing to celebrate in that case when speaking of length of time.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
How do you feel this illusion of time plays into relationships?
Time, I think, can be used as a ground to stand on. Like, we've been together for this long, so naturally, the longer you're with someone, the better you get to know them. It can also be harder. I know plenty of people, myself included, who've stayed in relationships because there's a certain comfort that comes along with time. And there's this belief that you would lose so much if you separate after a certain amount of time. There's both parties are aware and continually willing to grow, then time can be a best friend to love, because it is a continual deepening. The longer you're together, the more you deepen. But I also have seen it be this excuse or kind of a reason to stay together. Kind of a scapegoat of like, well, we've been here and I know you and I've known you for this many years, and this must mean that our relationship is strong. And I contrast that to those moments when you pass someone on the street and there's a recognition of one soul in another. And I think it's transcendent of time. I think there's, especially if you believe in past lives, which we can get into more, which
sure.
I do, but there's knowing people in a way that our intellectual mind can't wrap its head around. And so to some respect, time doesn't matter how long you know someone.
Yes. And there's so many expressions that play into the illusion of time or the concept of time, but not necessarily this deep, serious pondering of time. For example, familiarity breeds contempt. So familiarity can happen the more time you spend with someone. So in this case, again, familiarity and the length of time is something that we don't necessarily associate celebration with. However, you could be with someone to eternity, and then what is that?
Yeah. What does eternity mean? And are you talking about like physical eternity? Is it as long as you're in this form in your body? Or are you making a commitment that transcends that?
You say in your blog, our minds cannot understand the complexity of what we call love, but our minds can equate timestamps as proof of meaning and connection. Could you explain that a little bit further?
Yeah, hard for us how Eskimos have so many different words for love. And in Hawaii, aloha means I love you, hello, and goodbye. And so we use words, language, which is this thing, also a concept we've created, to try and understand or try and communicate something that happens on a spirit soul level, on a deeper level. And time is also one of those things that we've created a structure for, to understand our lifespan, to understand like when things happen on a timeline. And so the relation of love to time is fascinating to me. And I think that time being something that we can understand, we can use it, or that we've come to understand, like we all know, we're taught very young how many days are in the year, how many hours in the day, how many minutes in the hour. That's something that's become fact for us. So with something as amorphous as love, that we're like, do I not? Like, is it deep? Is it not? Was it familial? Is it romantic? Is it sexual? With all these kind of ways that we try and understand connection, time can become something that we can ground into. Like, okay, I've known this person for 3 months, so that's too soon to say I love you. Or I've known this person for 10 years, so that must mean that either we're really connected or I'm not feeling it, we're not. So I very curious when writing this about just that communication between time and love. And is it possible, you know, to, after 10, 20 years of being together, to reinvent what your meaning of love is, regardless of time, to begin your relationship again, so to speak, by viewing it as if you are starting fresh. My parents are a great example. They've been together for 28 years, and the past couple years, they were thinking perhaps their partnership had come to a close. They got married very young when they had my siblings and I, and what they're entering into now is kind of like we've been together for 28 years, but we're not those same people. So let's begin this relationship from where we're at now, which is this moment in our lives. And in that way, it's like it's brand new and time is kind of irrelevant.
I know that happens. My parents, until my dad passed, were married for a little bit longer than that, probably close to 30 years. And there's definitely chapters and, you know, reincarnations of the relationship throughout the process if you're going to keep it together. And I could speak from personal experience moving in April and 2 years of marriage, which is by no means a long time, but from the dating phase to the first year of marriage phase to where we are now, there's already been new understandings and new levels of consciousness and pivoting the way we connect and live based on how the relationship evolves. And I guess we would have to say due to time spent together, but within that framework of the word time, structuring this coexistence, I think it has less to do with time and more to do with the dynamics of our relationship, you know, living together, which we didn't do before we got married, and then getting our first home together and now truly building a home. Like, those things change your bond and the way that have roles and responsibilities and sharing and like that stuff. But that has nothing to do with time.
Yeah, no, not at all. And in fact, like, I think something like we can never predict when things happen. Like, we have no control over how long we'll be here, what events are going to occur in our lives. And sometimes that deepening of connection occurs rather quickly because life's events cause it to be so. Like, there's nothing more profound or more connective than experiencing something hard and traumatic together, or, you know, recognizing a fear. And I touched on that in the blog of like, what does it mean to love someone fully but not know their deepest fear? And to me, that is not going as deep into a connection as possible. And to me, that doesn't have anything to do with time either. That's more like really getting to know someone on a deep level. And yes, perhaps it does take years, or perhaps that's something you're confronted with in the first couple months of knowing someone.
Truth.
Yeah, I find it's this really interesting, it's kind of a provocative notion, this like time as irrelevant concept, but it's really fascinating to pull it apart. Like, why, what is the measurement of a successful relationship? And to me, time is a factor that we can, a detail of it, but it's not by any means essential to it.
Well, you go on to write, how then can we believe in a forever if the system we created does not have markers for it? There is no way to codify forever, and the idea of the infinite is the antithesis of our model of time. One can't measure the infinite, no more than we can measure the number of ghosts in the world. To do either presupposes a belief, accepts the stepping into an unexplored territory. So, till death do us part, would you consider that a fair marker of time?
Yeah, I would if it if both parties understand, like, man, this is getting it into a bit more of the esoteric, the spiritual, but are you talking about physical death? Are you talking about, okay, till our bodies die? Because forever as a concept, does it transcend physical death? You know, is energy, does energy remain bound? And I also think it's possible to love someone and to love their energy and to love them after they pass. I think that you still keep that love alive.
Actually, the wedding vow then becomes an interesting agreement to expand on what you're saying. So how could one ever know what forever looks like? What if one's number of breaths is much shorter than supposed? Does it end when the physical body ceases? Or is the hope that the vow itself will survive longer than its participants? I'm going to say my thoughts on this and then throw it back to you. I think this depends on the couple. So if I die before my wife, which unless, you know, something happens to her in a random event, biologically, I'll probably go first. So she has my blessing to be with someone who makes her happy when I'm gone from this earth. Now, there's different thoughts on that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that also has to do with like the two people being in the relationship, making the decision and that being the most important. You know, who gets to say who's going to be with who. I think it's more about commitment to one another. And then, yeah, the honest understanding like you have with your wife of it is possible to love someone physically and be in a relationship with them and also still hold love for other people, whether they've passed or friends, family. I mean, I don't, and this might be a bit provocative as well, but I do think monogamy is a choice and it's a continual choice and it's a skill. I don't think that it is by any means our only way of being. I think that you can have so much love for a lot of people. You can have multiple soulmates, but you continually make the choice to be in partnership, to be in relationship. And I think that choice is what strengthens the bond because you're not falling in love over and over again. You're choosing to love over and over again.
I do agree with that. Absolutely. And I think we're wired from our instinctual nature to not be monogamous. And it is a choice to make that commitment. And it goes against what our biological impulses would tell us to do. But then I compare that to our biological impulses might tell us just to go murder someone, but we can't do that in the civilization that we live in. So I think that if we're going to have society, we do have to make choices. If we, A, don't want to go to jail, or B, in this case, choosing to be monogamous or not, if we want to be married. And if you have an open marriage, which people do, I think both parties would have to agree to that. And that's fine. I'm not judging anybody. But I think those things would have to be discussed between partners.
Right. It's the communication element, the awareness of what you're feeling and what you need, and then also the willingness to listen to a chosen partner's what they need and take it outside of the ego, which I think I didn't really talk about this in the blog, but I do think time can play into the ego a little bit of like, I've been with this person for so long. Who am I, my identity without them? Or they should know how to love me by now because we've been together this amount of time. And I think that creates a story that isn't true because if there's not communication or if there's not a willingness to confront what comes up, then it doesn't matter how long you're together.
We are dancing into a territory, and it doesn't matter because it happened organically, and I'm going to dance with you in this space of awareness. And I believe that that is a big deal, and I know yoga helped me with this and the practice of mindfulness and awareness to not attach my identity to anything on the external that I cannot control that can be taken away from me. That would include a partner, right? Yes, I'm married, but it's not my identity, you know? Because that is different than attaching my identity to a car that I drive. Yes, of course, you know, I love my wife a lot more than I should ever love anything that I could buy. But you can buy a wife, I think, in some places. However, anything that can be ripped from you, you should not say that's your identity. And there was something I said in a podcast the other day, and it was from a quote I read from a book. It said, the only thing that we truly possess is our character. And to me, that's our identity, is our character. We control that. We don't control anything else on the external.
Right, right. Not at all. We have no control over it, including how much time we'll be here in these bodies as we are, as we know them.
How would you define identity? And I know I'm veering off, and I will reel it back into the blog, but how would you define identity?
Oh, I love this question. Well, it's interesting because isn't the ultimate question of yoga, who am I? And isn't the ultimate contemplation of the yogic practice, all eight limbs are this kind of disidentification with a certain beliefs about ourselves, coming back home to the soul, to the spirit. That doesn't really have anything to do with the details of who we are in the external world. It's a mirror of what's happening on the inside, but I know that underneath all of the details, Erin, my name, where I was born, my family, I'm a yoga teacher, I'm a writer, like these sort of identities, underneath of all of that is the same identity that you have, the same identity that every human being has, which is loving, which is this consciousness, which is, I love to call it loving. You can call it again, God, Chi, Shak, right. Prana, whatever, you know, any name. But to me, it's our essence, our soul, our spirit is unconditional loving. It's abstract. It's harder to wrap our heads around than I'm Erin. I'm 27 and I'm a writer. Like, that's very easy for my brain to be like, yes, this is true. What does my brain do with I'm loving? Like, what are you talking about? How is that going to help me progress in this earthly world?
I think for a lot of people, when they get shell-shocked, when they identify so much with the job, the paycheck, with the car, with the house, and some unfortunate event happens and they lose their job and all that gets ripped away, and now who are they? And I think that is where this principles in yoga that we learn are so empowering to get through those times, because you learn not to attach with that. And I've been personally an example of that. In my life a couple of times, to where now I just made a decision, not now, but you know, in this incarnation chapter of my life, that I will never identify with a label from the outside.
Right.
It's dangerous to do that. And it's not good in my mind. It's not a good way to go.
No, because you never know. You never know like what's going to happen. Right. And so things can be taken away at any point.
You know, when people go through transitions, it can be very difficult to redefine yourself. And that could be a job transition. That could be coming out of a marriage and then being single and then maybe dating again, maybe not. It could be the kids leave the house and you're empty nest now and you identify with that. But I think everyone's going to go through something at some time where they lose something from the external. But if we can ground ourselves in the principle that really the only thing that we have and the only things that matter and could possibly define us come from within.
Yeah, definitely. I think those are the things that are going to transcend and fortify us no matter what's happening, no matter what details, what transitions we're going through, this pillar, this identity of loving, of connection inside of us. Is what is going to allow us to come through when.
So now reeling it back into the blogcast, you write, there is no ground in love. There is no calendar or timestamp. There is only pure existence that cannot be denied or rationally defined. It is within that hourglass that I choose to live. Can you please elaborate on that?
It's really helpful. Truly, I'm not in a partnership. And to me, what I was thinking about is it doesn't matter if you're with someone or if you're not, or if you've been with someone your whole life or you're not. There's only the experience of love in the present moment. And that is love with self, that is love with family, that is love with friends, but it's a moment by moment choice. It's a moment by moment choice to become aware of the love that is present. And so starting to go into thinking about the future of like, will I be with someone? What's my relationship going to look like? And there is something to visualizing about, you know, the person I want to call into my life. I definitely believe in that. But the kind of waiting to experience love until that happens, or the looking back at past love and kind of picking that apart, or using that as like, well, that was the love I experienced. Both of those things take you away from the present moment. And the present moment can be as infinite or as passing as we decide it is.
By paying attention.
By paying attention. Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's like the love is always, always present. And because the present moment doesn't function on a timeline, because, you know, it's now, and now it's now, and now it's now. You know, it's this continual moment by moment thing. Then it's always available, and it doesn't matter. You don't need to look to future or past to find the love.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think of things a lot in terms of music. I came to the conclusion that every song, like 99%, okay, there's like the one anomaly here and there, but every song's either about falling in love, being in love, or breaking up and being sad.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I'm looking, I'm cheating right now, but I'm looking at a list of songs about time and love. So I have Natalie Cole, "This Will Be an Everlasting Love." "After waiting for the thrill of a lifetime, she found her true love and now looks forward to the lifetime of bliss with him." So that's one example of a song that is iconic. And we romanticize the concept of time and love.
Yeah. For sure. I think we romanticize, like, we've been together for this long. Now it's like, it's forever, and it's safe. It's comfortable to think, like, for the amount of time I'm going to be alive, like, I will be in this form of love that I can understand, which is through another person.
Yeah. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time. You know, if you fall, I'll catch you. I'll be waiting time after time.
Yeah. Which is amazing. And I would offer it to everyone listening, you know, one thing that really helped me, and we spoke about it a little bit when we deconstructed, excavated heartbreak, but what if you took all of those songs and you made them like love songs to you in the present moment? If I feel like I'm falling, I'm going to catch me. And it's not, then you go from moving outside of self to find love and identity, and rather like, okay, I'm going to keep working with me. Because the irony, I think, about that is that once we start that, really devoting time to that conversation, then the love that we experience in our lives amplifies.
Yes, exactly. And I think a big thing about your blog, which when people read it, the whole blog on your page, erinrward.com, and we'll link to it, that this concept is man-made, right? Love is not man-made. Love is a feeling. It's a innate emotion that we feel, but this concept of time, this framework of time, is something that is made by humans. Why? For a bunch of reasons. But yes, the time zones and the fact that we could actually change the time zones and the barriers as we go,
yeah,
reinforces the fact that it's all discretionary and it's not really a sense of stability.
Right. It's not, but if we decide it's a sense of stability, it can be, but, you know, so can inner strength. So can not needing to know the future. So can not needing to be in a partnership to feel strong.
Yeah. Why is that? I don't know. It's an illusion. And you referenced that, you know, the illusion of time gives us compartments to place memory, allows for permission to make decisions, offers us a sense of grounding, even if only a ghost ground. That is no more stable than the puffs of clouds believed to provide an ethereal bed if we could only get high enough.
Yeah, right. It's because it's this outsourcing of experience of love. You can get so high by the validation or by the connection with another person. And I do, there's so much value in that. But I also see so much value in turning that inward. And maybe it's the point of my life that I'm at, but I really do think that like self-love is the start of all love and is the wellspring of every kind of experience of love.
Yes.
And so the kind of illusion that if we're with a partner for long enough or if we're with a partner at all, that we're going to stay flying high and nothing's going to touch us, that's beautiful, but it's not really real.
It's not.
Because who knows, like it takes two people to be in a relationship with one another, and it takes only us to make the decision of how deeply and lovingly we want to be with ourselves.
I really think the ultimate takeaway from this, for me, is to throw away the concept of time from love, to throw it out the door. Because honestly, if I think about something that has nothing to do with love, but then I'll bring it back, I'll pull it in. Let's say if we go by age, right? And at this age, you're supposed to be doing this, or I feel like I'm wiser now because I'm in this decade of my life, but that's not really the definer. What defines it is or isn't the lack of or the appearance of the experience that you had, which either took you one route or the other to give you more wisdom and give you more awareness or vice versa. And that really has nothing to do with the defined label of age that you would put down.
Right.
So why right. would we do that on the maturity of our relationship in terms of love?
Right, for sure. And I think it's not to discredit it completely, not to be like time doesn't matter. Like it's not doesn't play any role at all. But it's saying that you don't have to. It doesn't have to be the only consideration in a relationship, or it doesn't have to be the defining consideration.
Fuck it. If all you've been together for 20 years listening right now, I want you to get off your high horse, look at each other in the eye, and tell each other why you love each other right now. Three reasons why.
Yeah. Oh, this is so wonderful.
Yes, it is. And I appreciate your blog and your thoughtfulness and that they're different. Everything you put out is different and thought-provoking. And going back to what you said in the beginning, there is a nice organically woven thread through our discussions and through your blog, through the blogcast, that it's awareness, you know, this concept of awareness. And that's so empowering.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I'm going to take that in. I'm going to receive that on this day of love because that means a lot to me. And I really hope they are supportive for people. So if they are, you know, we've said it before, but if anyone wants to excavate anything or is going through something, especially, like, please let us know.
Absolutely. And I definitely default for you to send your messages to Erin, and the link to her website is up. There's an intake form on Erin's website, erinarward.com, and she's very helpful with one-on-one. And there's so many people going through what we're talking about and having difficulties and challenges, not just with this blog, but to a bunch of the other blogs we read as well. But specifically, today's Valentine's Day, there's some people freaking out right now. So if you know, Erin can help you a lot in a lot of different ways. And I totally support her and directing you to her website. So definitely take her up on that if you're even considering it. Go for it and really converse with Erin and let her help you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I look forward to hearing from whomever, you know, wants to chat.
And by the way, you and I are going to collaborate on something else.
We are. We're so excited.
This Friday, you can log on to plank.com or download the app. The class is, I'm going to say Eastern time, 5 o'clock to 5:45. I'm teaching live from New York City at the Plank headquarters, half the class of like, you know, an all level flow. And then Erin's going to do meditation, which I'm so stoked for the end of class. And if you're in college, if you're listening, you're in college, you can register there for free. Otherwise, it's $5, and the net proceeds go to the Brain Injury Association of New York. So it goes to a charity as well, which is nice.
Yeah, that's so great. I love that.
And you've never seen me teach, and I've never taken one of your classes. So this will be a fun experience as well.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so excited. This is going to be a big moment for us.
It really is. So check it out. And Excavating with Erin every Wednesday, which I've received multiple emails about how people love the concept of setting a date, making an appointment that they know on Wednesdays last week we were a little late. I was getting panic messages from people. Where's my excavating with Erin?
Oh my goodness. That makes me so happy.
I love that we're consistent with it. I love that you jumped on to this ride early. You were, what do they call that? An early adopter. An early adopter?
Yeah, early adopter.
Erin was an early adopter of the Yoga Moves You podcast. Why? I don't know, but I'm very grateful. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I'm very grateful too. I love you. I love what we're doing.
I love you too. And your energy is so good. And that's why I think we ended up having it manifest like this. You know what? We're not even counting the amount of time that we've been doing this because it's all about the energy and the experiences that we're putting out.
Yeah, that's right.
Love is love. Peace out, y'all.
Peace out.
We'll practice with you Friday. Plank.com. Go sign up now.
Excavating with Erin.